because I went when I promised him would sell to see if anything could be done. He sat me down and looked in my eyes through some kind of machine and very quickly told me, or I should say in a very short time, told me that I had pink eye. I asked him what could be done, and he said it would have to run its course, and that there was an ointment, but that there was an ointment that would help ease the irritation. He said that he could write a prescription, but that I could buy the similar thing. He could write a prescription, but that I could buy the similar thing, which is Neosporin over the counter, and that would save me money. He said the difference between the two was that the prescription ointment had a special end in the tube that allowed you to place the ointment directly in the eye, and that the over-the-counter stuff didn't have this, so that you had to apply it on the outside part of the eyelid, and it would drain into the eye. On the tube, it said not to be put in the eye. He explained that it meant not placed directly in the eye. He told me that he could also make me an eye patch. I was told that my eye would be better if I had it closed, but he said it would be very expensive. He said, so I went ahead and bought some adhesive patches in the store. I asked him how contagious the disease was, and he said, not very much, as mine was a rare form afflicting the cornea rather than the outer part of the eye. He said that some of the cells in the cornea flaked off. That was the reason for the irritation, and he drew me a picture showing me what this looked like. He said that the air hit it, and it became sore. Anyway, he said for me not to worry, just don't let anyone else use my soap and washcloth or towel. I was to come back in 2 weeks for him to see me again. After a few days of using the ointment, my eye was no longer painful, so I discontinued using the medicine. In a couple more days, my eye was worse than ever. I decided to get a second opinion. I randomly chose the name of the ophthalmologist, now realizing that they were the doctors, in the phone book. I saw Dr. Skelly. He looked at my eye and informed me that I did not have pink eye, but instead had two ingrown eyelashes under the eyelid, which had been rubbing and therefore irritating the cornea. He pulled them out, and in 2 days, my eye was fine. My question now is, if an optometrist is not a doctor, then what gives him the right to insinuate to his clients that he is? In this particular case, it didn't take any medicine to make a diagnosis, contrary to what one gentleman stated, I have many cases that have had problems with the optometrist. As you can see, the optometrist in this case not only failed to make a proper diagnosis and exam, he misrepresented himself and his legal abilities to his patient. Remember, failure to pass this bill will not change the present practice of the optometrist, nor will it limit their ability to make a living. It will give them an instant license into the medical profession, one that their medical training does not warrant. Only your careful consideration can present this. Please give it a serious consideration, and then vote as if you might be their next patient.
Thank you, Doctor. Although I don't know that we'll get a chance to take a look at the information, and or at least we'll take a look at it, but I don't know that we'll get a chance to follow up on it. If you would send those cases down to us, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, as I said, the last gentleman that testified stated that there were no problems. I, as one doctor, in the last few months, have six of these, just exactly or almost very similar to this. And if I've had six of them like this, I'm sure that there are many others strung out through the state. And keep in mind that these drugs were given, you know, kind of sleight of hand, you know, as if, well, we can give you the prescription. And in all cases, this is what the patients told me, but that they could go simply to the pharmacy and save themselves the extra money by just buying it over the counter and letting it run into their eyes.
Thank you, Doctor. I think we now have an Ed Craig in Ketchikan. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Would you go ahead, please?
Yes, I'm Ed Craig in Ketchikan. I'm an optometrist. I've practiced in Alaska for 29 years. And I just wonder if people have thought, what is fair for these people who we see as patients and they are consumers? We fit contact lenses to them, and sometimes they overwear them and they develop abrasions and come back and tell us they have an abrasion. Their eye really hurts. Now, we have one option only, to send them to a physician's office. Usually they call in the morning and we send them to the physician's office, and possibly they'll get in to see a physician in the afternoon, and by that time their eye has quit hurting. Here in Ketchikan we have an itinerant ophthalmologist, and so the physicians are doing his work for him. Now, if we as optometrists had the same licensure as nurses or physician's assistants who could treat those people or patients, and everybody would be happy, you know. But instead minor things such as abrasions of particles in the eye and things like that. That is why we want to be able to use therapeutic drugs. I have a license in Washington State to practice optometry. In 1981 and 1982, the state of Washington put on a postgraduate education course to use diagnostic drugs. And this course consisted of 60 hours of instruction. This bothers me because the state of Washington, which is much bigger than ours, much more knowledgeable, I feel, than Alaska, only requires 60 hours. And Alaska, we require 200 hours. That's what was tacked onto this amended bill. And they are able to use Medivadics as well as anesthetics and psychoplegics. In 1983, the state of Oregon, along at Pacific University in the state of Oregon, and along with Penn State University, put on a course in the state of Oregon on therapeutic drugs, and this was 100 hours, which I took. And many of these courses that we did take in therapeutics were taught by medical men, MDs. So I allow the fact that none of these courses that we ever taken were taught by MDs. They were. We are able to, as optometrists and from the state of Alaska, go to the VA hospital in Vancouver, Washington, and receive hands-on experience with patients. Many of us are just waiting for that time when this bill is finally passed with therapeutics and diagnostic drugs, so we will go down and get our hands-on experience. I think I'm the only optometrist in Alaska, and probably the oldest practicing with 160 hours of training here, and I'm just waiting to have this bill passed, because in Kitchikan, we're isolated, people do need help, and I don't know how the devil you can treat people when it's, and you know full well what to do for them, and you can't touch them. Instead, you have to refer them out the door. It just causes everybody a lot of time and trouble and expense. Thank you.
I thank you for your testimony, Mr. Craig, and also in the way it was given. I think you make some good points. One of the questions I would have is with regard to the apparent compromise that was offered 4 years ago. Do you have any specific comments in a way that we might be able to find some kind of solution to this thing that seems to fit both sides and also provides possibly some increases in the area of access that you're concerned with to the public?
Well, I don't. I think there's a very small percentage of the patients that need to be dilated. That's my opinion. If you have the time to do it, that's fine. But many of the ophthalmologist offices that I've been into, the receptionist or their assistants do the dilation of the eyes, and these people are sitting in the waiting room for several hours, and if the doctor doesn't see them when that eye is dilated, then the girl goes by and drops some more drops in the eye, and pretty soon the patient will eventually get to see the doctor. So I haven't seen any glaucoma attacks in their waiting rooms. And but really, to answer your question, I don't think there's that many people that need dilation. Today we have visual fields, which when we have a problem with a patient, we have to see it into the retina or see what that retina is doing. We have sophisticated visual fields equipment to do that. But there are times when it is necessary to have a look in that eye, so you would have the patient come back and you would do it. I don't know if I answered your question or not, but that was my best shot.
Well, again, I thank you for your answer. I think that the feeling of the committee, and I certainly can't speak for the other members, but at least for those of us who are really undecided on this issue, is that there should be some way that the professionals on both sides, and both sides know more about the details than we do, should be able to get together and come up with some kind of solution. This issue has been ongoing for the total time that I've been in the legislature, and I'm sure it started long before that.
Well, yes, I think the issue started when I was president of our association about 6-7 years ago, and that was our first time that we introduced it. The lobbying cost us $29,000, and it was killed in the Senate because some senator was paying another senator the bill. That's why it was killed. So it's been going on and on and on. don't have time to invade anybody's turf. You're there taking care of your patients in the best manner that you've been licensed for. And as far as doing a lot of extensive treating and all this thing, I don't think that's necessary. I don't think it will ever happen.
Holding up their end of the deal?
Well, I think we've had some positive testimony from the medical profession that there are areas where they're willing to compromise, and I think if the optometry profession is also willing to compromise, maybe we can get something out, and I would appreciate any contacts you might want to make over the phone to any of us on that subject, and the same to anyone else. I don't think we have anyone else left to testify, unless there's any stations that had somebody just come in. If that's the case, I'll wait just a minute, and then we'll go ahead and close down the meeting.
I would like to testify from Soldaten, if possible.
This is the moderator in Juneau. May we have your name, please, sir?
My name is John Dempsey, and I'm an optometrist.
Would you go ahead? I think you're the one that came and left again. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Many things have been said, and I'll be short to the point here. Legislation in West Virginia and North Carolina that enables them to use therapeutics was passed 7 and 8 years ago. They were, I believe Dr. O'Connell already said what, oh, he did, okay. As of a month ago, I talked to the Secretary of the West Virginia Board of Optometry, and as of 1 month ago, there were no complaints filed with the West Virginia Board of Optometry regarding drug use. The law specifically states that any complaint should be filed with the Board of Optometry. And I can't believe there were 200 complaints filed in the last month. Also, I'm on the Board of Optometry for Alaska. Our international board is in the process of writing an examination for therapeutic drugs by optometrists. They expect this exam to be ready for use by 1985. That is the course, and that is the examination that we would require for certification for therapeutic drugs. I think one other thing is that, that's already been mentioned, is that we don't want to be ophthalmologists. We just want to be able to use our education and skills commensurate with our training. An analogy I like to use is we are to the ophthalmologist what a dentist is to an oral surgeon. We have an equivalent amount of education to that of dentistry. An oral surgeon has an additional residency just like an ophthalmologist does. Before I would want anyone to operate on my eyes, I'd want them to have a lot more training than I do. I also spent 5 years in Bethel using therapeutic drugs under standing orders. And I believe that several of the physicians have written letters to the committee members supporting this bill. These are physicians who've worked side by side with optometrists for 5 years. Many of the physicians who testified against this bill have never worked with an optometrist, and they don't know all the skills that we have. That is all the comments that I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you made it back to give us that. If there's no one else on the line, then we'll go ahead and adjourn. Let me see. Thank you again.
This is Tom, the moderator. That concludes the Senate test hearing for this afternoon. Thank you, all you moderators who assisted.